Coming to you from the greatest city in the world, Columbus, Ohio, this is the Fifth Line Podcast.
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Prepare yourself to be serenaded by 30 minutes of poetic podcasting perfection.
Gentlemen, you have my curiosity. But now you have my attention.
With Jordan Mills, Matt Pfeffer, and TJ Nokar, let's get this show started.
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that?
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fifth Line Podcast. We are live, but not live, here from local cantina in the brewery district downtown, joined here as always with Matt Pfeffer, TJ Nokar. What's up, boys?
Nothing.
TJ's having mic issues.
Are we both one person joined with Matt Pfeffer, TJ Nokar?
Yes.
No,
and you guys are joined together.
We're not Siamese twins, no.
That would be weird. That would be awful.
Combining the two of us would make a super smart human being, though.
Debatable.
Debatable? No.
Very much so debatable. If you keep hearing a humming, TJ is having a mic issue. His XLR cable is garbage. I think he got it at the dollar store.
Something like that. Yeah.
So you'll hear that go in and out.
Yep. This sound.
That means TJ's not going to be talking a lot, which is great. So,
actually, on that note, maybe we should put Matt on the mic instead.
Okay.
Funny. Anyway, hi guys. How was last night?
Last night was phenomenal. I have a hockey hangover from that game, not because of the hockey, but because of the alcohol.
Yeah, I think we all had a little bit of fun last night. It was kind of like our, you know, it was
our
last send-off.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go out in style.
Yeah, and to see about 18,000 Blackhawk fans walk out of Nationwide Arena upset.
Yeah.
It was great.
They would not give me a high five for nothing.
When I say 18,000 Blackhawk fans, I mean 18,000 Blackhawk fans walked out of Nationwide Arena last
that's
night.
That's an actual number.
That is not made up.
Yeah. Last night, we just came out and we were flat. First period, flat.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, you know,
they scored within the first 10 seconds, I think, right?
Yeah, 9 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Didn't help our morale much. So
No. We
walked out first intermission. We're like, okay, you know what? It's been, you know, let's forget about the season. You know, we all gave each other high fives, clapped, and everything. All of a sudden, we go into the second period. Holy crap.
Yeah.
We just turn on the afterburners. We're like, hey, you only got 40 minutes left in the season. Make it worth it.
Yeah.
So I was really proud of our effort last night. After
I hear TJ. He's going to chime in here.
cue the buzzing. Yeah, but on that note, I mean, Scott Hartnell ended up finally getting that elusive 300th goal.
About time. They've been talking about it since his last goal, which is what, 2 months ago?
16 games ago was the last time he had scored. Also, Alexander Wenberg had a goal, and he actually, in 69 games this season, he played 68 last season, he doubled his production both in goals and assists.
Yeah.
And Saad finished with a career-high 31 goals.
Yeah, we have two 30-plus goal scorers on the team for the first time in franchise history, which is pretty cool.
I think that's great. And it's your young guys.
Yeah.
Not your vets.
Yeah, yeah.
Your young guys.
It's really fun just to be annoying.
Yeah, you're really doing a good job of it.
Yeah,
just keep buzzing in.
DJ Nokar on the microphone.
I think something cool is, in the past three games the Jackets played, we've scored 19 goals. Where was that production all season?
I think people just gave up.
Apparently.
Maybe. But anyway, how about that last goal, though? That went off of a very certain place in Scott Hartnell's body, and I don't think that felt good.
Thank God.
It felt good to win.
I say thank God hockey players are required to wear cups.
Cups, yeah.
Yeah, not the Stanley Cup, but a cup.
I played baseball for 18 years. I wore a cup like once.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's
you're living on the edge, my friend.
It's nowhere near as bad as that one guy. What was that, earlier this season or was that last season? I can't remember.
Yeah.
The one that actually had the cup
actually
dented.
Like dented.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
From taking a slap shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He thanked the bike company because bike made the cup. He's like, thank you. And then they retweeted it. That was the best thing.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to throw myself under the bus here. I was a bad fan last night. Got a pretty cool opportunity yesterday. Coglaha, Columbus, Ohio.
Coglaha?
Gay Lesbian Ally Hockey Association. They had they hosted like an unofficial Pride night and got a chance to team up with their hockey team and play a couple of games on Nationwide's ice against the inbound Chicago Gay Hockey Club. So that was pretty cool.
Did you win?
No.
Why?
No. Well, apparently the Chicago teams won. Their lower skill team is definitely much more skilled. But they also play together on a regular basis. We had a couple of people that, you know, haven't played for a year, 2 years. So, I mean, it was a lot of fun, though. The ice is much different. Pucks move a lot faster.
Yeah.
But
as it should.
I got to knock that off of my to-do list, getting to play a game on Nationwide's ice. But by the time I got home and sat down for a minute, I was out like a light. I managed to wake up at apparently all the high moments of the game last night. So there's that. I did wake up in time to watch the overtime goal. So
maybe all I hear is you're a terrible fan, and you did not go to the last game.
And the
year.
Buzz.
I was gonna say I figured you were gonna make another comment at the buzz.
And the buzz, yeah, that
I'm
too.
I'm trying to tune.
It's my way of bringing Stinger in here, even though he's not really a bumblebee. Okay. We're not sure what kind
I'd
of bug he is.
I'd rather have Boomer here with us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Honestly.
Boomer
back. 2016.
Well, like I said, there's a Boomer that lives inside of us.
We need a Boomer poster, aka Anthony.
Yeah. Which I forgot to mention, we do have a special guest. We're going to be bringing him in here shortly. Anthony, who does all the Jackets posters, is here with us.
Yeah.
So
I guess we should say who did all the Jackets.
No.
Posters.
You never say never.
Cue the Sarah McLachlan music. I will remember.
I thought
you.
I always remember the In the Arms of an Angel.
In the arms
the,
of
the dog
angel.
Commercials.
Dude, I can't watch that. Like, I literally mute the TV, run out of the other room. Before anything else happens, like
yeah,
I can't do
I
that.
I always turn it. I can't watch.
I can't watch puppies being slaughtered.
Like, the thing about it is, if I'm watching a movie and a person gets killed or something, I have no emotion to that person. When a dog gets killed in a movie, I want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
Yeah.
Am I mentally unstable?
No. Old Yeller. If you don't cry, Old Yeller.
Yeah.
That's
Old
hard.
Yeller. That is such a terrible movie. Or Marley and Me, both terrible. Because if you didn't already know. Going into it, you would be devastated by the end that the dogs die.
Or the classic Tom Hanks movie, Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
That one's a hard one.
You know what? Real quick, before we do get Anthony on the podcast, I just want to go ahead and get this out of the way now. So we're going to cue the music, and we're going to jump into Matt and Jordan's favorite segment.
Boogity boogity.
The boogity boogity seconds, or whatever it's called.
This is the obligatory 30 seconds of NASCAR talk with Jordan Go Fast Mills and Matt Turn Left Pfeffer.
All right, so I'm tired of Kyle Busch.
Everybody is tired of Kyle Busch.
The Xfinity Series needs to be for Xfinity drivers only.
Exactly.
Get Kyle Busch, get all the Cup regulars out of there.
Exactly.
And listen, maybe if you want to do like, they could limit it to three races a year for him.
Exactly.
But beyond that, you're ruining all these Xfinity guys.
I agree with you. That is not fair. That's like Scott Hartnell jumping down to the minors all the time just because
yeah.
he wants another paycheck.
He wants to play. He wants a paycheck.
Yeah. No.
It's
if you're a regular,
ridiculous.
Yeah. If you're a regular, and here's what NASCAR's looking at. They're like, well, if we have one of our main drivers down on that series, we'll fill up the stands.
Yeah.
That's not the case. They want to see.
They're not filled at all anymore.
Oh God, no. Because there's so much TV coverage.
Yeah.
There's so much TV coverage. What you need to do is start blacking out those races in those areas. That's
yeah.
basically it.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. You need to start blacking them out and make people go to those races because you have the privilege of having a NASCAR track in your backyard.
Go to the race.
Go to the race.
If
right,
there
exactly.
there was a NASCAR track in Ohio, besides Eldora, I would be there every single
oh, man.
Time.
By the way,
race.
Eldora is on our bucket list
yeah.
for this summer.
But mark my words, and we'll end our NASCAR segment. There will be a Kyle Busch rule next year. Guarantee it. NASCAR is going to come out. They're going to restrict the amount of races a Cup driver can go to the Xfinity.
I agree with you.
And it's going to be called the Kyle Busch rule.
Circle gets a square.
That was the obligatory 30 seconds of NASCAR talk. We now return to our regularly scheduled recordings.
So good to get NASCAR talk.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
All right. Yeah, I think I need to adjust that that little segment thing, the segue there, because it's definitely more than 30 seconds of NASCAR talk.
We try to do it as fast as we can,
yeah,
but, you
I
know.
I try to talk quickly. But before we get Anthony on here, we have some news as the artillery. We signed a partnership extension
yes.
with the Columbus Blue Jackets, so they will. So basically, you get us for another year. Whether
well, yeah,
you want
we got
to
a
not.
We got a bridge contract.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah. One more year before we hit a free agency again, but we'll still be restricted. So they're going to maintain
yeah.
rights
yeah.
over
well,
us.
Well, and by the way, shout out to Mike Priest,
yeah.
Greg, Larry over in the front office. Thank you for re-upping us. We
and
appreciate that.
And of course, our point guys and Rob Mixer and Jeff guys are awesome. We love you. We give you a hard time.
We, yeah, we. Oh no. We're
prima donnas
yeah.
to work with.
we We are the star children, and you have to deal with us. Sorry. But we really do appreciate all the Blue Jackets fans for the opportunity that you've given us the last couple years. Obviously, we're not here without you guys and the listeners who happen to listen to us and who have to endure our our podcast.
I endure it every time we get go on the air.
Yeah, I know, right? It's just like, again, we have to talk to the fans. But, no, we do this for you. We do it out of our love of our heart and the love for the Columbus Blue Jackets and our city.
We're here through thick and thin.
Yep. Yes. And on that note, we might as well introduce our guest who is going to make his first stop on his farewell tour here at the podcast. So
we're going to retire his number if he has one.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have
zero. I haven't had a number on any jersey for the last 5 years.
Oh, really? So this is a zero?
No, just like a blank jersey. I don't want to show. I want to be a fan of the team.
See, that's what I do too. But the guy who's talking right now is Anthony, and I'm sure everyone listening has seen his posters. He's the mastermind behind all these posters that go out for the game day posters. I say posters a lot right there.
Posters.
I mean, they are absolutely incredible, and unfortunately, we're not going to have the pleasure of having you next year, but we wanted to get you on before you headed out on your way.
Really,
and
appreciate
welcome
it.
Into the show, man.
Awesome. Welcome to Anthony Zeech.
Zeech?
Zeech.
It's like beach, but with a Z.
Zeech.
Zeech. That's kind of a cool name.
I wish that is cool.
Anything with a Z is kind of cool usually, right?
My last name is boring. Mills.
Yeah, but my last name's cool. It's Z and then Y.
That is really cool.
That is, like you're at the you're at the very bottom of every alphabet. Like,
yeah,
unless there's a ZZ somewhere.
It's not difficult to find me in the phone book, guys.
No. Just go to the very last
page.
They
still make phone books
somewhere, I bet.
Yeah, I still
get
my
one.
Front porch with those things all the time. The yellow pages.
I got hit by one the other day.
I'm sure you
I was at work and the kid threw it at the window and I just walked out the door and. It's like, oh, hi. Thanks for the phone book.
So just to get started here, I'm sure you've probably told this story multiple times, but would you mind sharing with our millions upon millions of listeners exactly what got you started, both with the Jackets and with your game day posters?
Well, boys, with the Jackets, I graduated from design school back in 2011. I didn't have a job right out of school. I had interned with Ohio State's athletic department, and they're actually the guys that helped get me in with the Jackets. They said a good word, dropped my name a little bit, and I picked it up and stepped up. Went out and met Jason, my senior designer, now former senior designer. Talked to him a little bit at a big CSCA event, and a couple weeks later I got to come in and the very first thing I did was skate on the main ice for a little employee pickup game. So that's kind of how I got the start. Sports started at Ohio State and transitioned into the Jackets. And it wasn't a move I expected, but it's a move I'm eternally thankful for.
Yeah, it sounds like. Now, what spurned the entire poster idea? Because I heard that you were trying to pitch it to the main guys. It didn't really stick at one point, and then all of a sudden Digital, a.k.a. Rob Mixer / Jeff, really liked the idea.
Well, the idea actually came about a few years ago when Marcus Stevenson was here. And we had talked
good
about
man,
doing
– Marcus.
We like him.
He's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great
He's
guy.
He's very enthusiastic about everything he does, and that's what – that's kind of what birthed the artillery in a sense, the way he went about digital media and what he did, and he got us excited, and so we wanted to really be a part of the community.
Not just that, the biggest pro wrestling fan I've ever met in my entire life.
What were we talking about? We were talking about I was thinking about wrestling for some reason.
How the posters came about.
Marcus and I always talked. I always went down to him. He was like my little, I'm a little bummed out. Something didn't work out. Let's talk about it. It was always great. Made me feel better about a lot of stuff. And we started talking about posters back then. It just wasn't something that we really felt was something that could be pursued. Just didn't make it through the right channels. And this year, I always had it in the back of my mind. I did the very first one against Ottawa. I did it at home. The first couple months, I did these all at home. And it was more or less a way to just continue to be creative and continue to push myself and, again, learn some new skills and refine some of those skills, especially drawing skills. The other reason, my girlfriend, she moved in February to New York. So we were doing long distance for the year. Thankfully, that's coming to an end next Thursday, this coming Thursday. You know, it's you have a lot more free time, you realize, when you don't get to spend time with the person you spent most of your time with. And the posters kind of helped me fill that little bit of, like, you know, I feel like I'm missing out on doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like I showed the first one, showed that first one to Jeff, showed it to Rob, and I showed it around, and I, even myself, I thought, you know, I don't know if fans are really going to like this, I don't know if they're really going to enjoy these things, and Jeff was like, no, dude. Let's put these online.
Yeah,
like, people are gonna like these things.
I still don't know why they're not being like sold in the blue line, or you don't have a website where you can sell. That'd be amazing. I guarantee people would buy those up.
Well, I've been contacted by people all season.
Yeah,
it's my email. You know, if I always felt like if I had 3 unread emails on my personal account, I was like, wow, that's a lot to catch up on. Oh, that one's just a bill. Oh boy. but no, now like. You know, it's cool, this little reach I've started to be able to grow with, you know, this talent, or, you know, I consider it a hobby. I've been drawing since I was 3 years old.
Yeah.
There's a picture on my mom's refrigerator of me sitting in a laundry basket and sitting there staring at the TV, which that probably hasn't really changed much over the years.
you sit in a laundry basket?
Is that what you do over?
That's my
overnight?
Little creative space. It doesn't, you know, I kind of broke it a few years ago.
So literally during the season, when you were doing your posters, there's like a laundry basket in your cubicle, and you're sitting there like.
Yeah, I sit underneath the desk and do them.
Complete with the tinfoil hats from keeping the air.
No, he has the blankets. He has a fort underneath.
my only happy space.
No girls allowed.
Yeah, my only gripe with the posters this season was that on the St. Patrick's Day poster, that there wasn't either anything leprechaun related or that I didn't somehow get to squeeze in as a birthday gift into the poster. I'm sure Matt's probably got similar feelings on the game against the Devils. But I think you kind of made like an unofficial appearance in one of the posters.
Make an unofficial appearance.
It was unofficial.
It was very good.
That picture of you standing with the flag in front of the arena.
Yeah.
That kind of gave me the idea for the Caps poster back on. It's crazy how much I remember. About
I think that was
now
in
that
December,
was
right
2nd.
After Christmas.
Yep, January 2nd.
Yeah, like
first one of 2016.
Yeah, and we beat them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we handed. What was it? 6-3. That was a 6-3 win.
I don't remember all that.
Oh, dude, I remember that.
I usually finish the poster, and it's just like, all right, fine.
Yeah, well, my birthday was good because Nick Foligno got a hat trick, and then that my unofficial poster of me like standing on a mountain with an eagle, like a bald eagle.
Yeah,
and
that was, I had that as my background on my phone for the
I still
time.
Have it. It's still mine.
Yeah.
I've had the Montreal one up since we did the it's home so and home with them. I don't know why. Really
it's so funny. They should be like trading cards. It's like, oh, which one do you have?
Well, that's like the cool thing about this. It's the whole purpose of advertising through a poster like this is it's a very traditional way of communication. And
that's the way they were done. That was done back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Was like,
I mean,
if you advertise things, it was on a poster, you know?
Like, those are things that I want to collect and I want to have framed someday.
Yeah.
It's taking this modern-day technology of being able to reach so many different people out there, be them CBJ fans or fans of any other team, or people that have never even paid attention to hockey, and it's using the most basic form of communication. Mm-hmm. It is art. It is that's exactly how entire languages started. Those pictograms and glyphs and drawings on the cave walls, and, you know, that developed into language, but that was the original way of how, you know, how do we communicate with people? And that's what I strive to do through these posters.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the game info on there, but other than that, what does the actual image say? And, you know, can everybody point out the tiny little things that I've hidden in there?
Yeah, there's some good ones for sure. Like, I think we each have our own favorites. One of my favorites, I think, still was the Star Wars theme.
That
with Bobrovsky and the lightsaber battle.
Yeah.
I like that one mainly because that really helped, like, that was like the big launching point, I feel like. You build something around such a big release that everybody is geared towards, and you adapt it to sports, and you adapt it to this attitude that we have, and, you know, everybody talks about the Flyers. It's the Flyers, the dark side.
Yeah.
So it was like immediate, like, okay, it has to be Star Wars themed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we put it out that Friday that the movie came out, and I love the little analytics you can see on Twitter now, and you can check and see how many impressions you get, how many people click on your links and everything. And I mean, it was like hundreds of thousands, and I'm usually used to like maybe 20 people paying attention to me, and I'm pumped about that.
Yeah, the another favorite of mine, just because I love the show, was the Game of Thrones. That
I've
one
never
was
seen
that one was
I've
pretty.
I've never watched Game of Thrones.
but that still came to mind for that poster design.
I've seen posters and I've seen like book covers and illustrations, and I know about the big chair. I don't know the terminology for it.
That's the throne.
SpongeBob. That's more along like my lines of like I can get this.
SpongeBob is for all ages.
I can get this. That's I do love all the fives you put in there. Like, cause I think every poster seems like out of five somewhere.
I tried to get it in there as much as possible. You know, it's not just the team playing another team. It's, you know,
it's all of us.
The battle of the fans
it's
too.
It's the fifth line.
Yeah.
Have you contemplated going back to the early games, the early home games that you didn't do posters for, to kind of complete a full season set for yourself?
Well, that's. There's actually 40 posters that were done. The only one that we didn't put out was a opening night one. And
I put that on Twitter the other day.
I kind of figured, well, I'm going out, so I'm going to put it up online anyway. Yeah.
So technically you did do 41 because you did the away version of the Montreal.
That is true, yes.
The Montreal poster.
So besides being on our podcast and obviously meeting us as great people, what's the biggest moment that you think has come from this? Like when maybe it was a website that posted it, or you know, somebody you interacted with.
I want to say it was Paul Lucas writing about me on UniWatch, his blog, and that's a site I visit every morning. I come into work, I'll go and get my coffee. One of the first things I do is sit down and read all about, you know, what's going on in the uniform world. Yeah. That's always been like my dream to get to design a uniform or be like somebody that's doing something big enough that's getting talked about for a sports team. And woke up, and right before I hop in the shower, I think my buddy sent me a link to it. He's like, dude, you're on UniWatch. And I stood there, I'm reading the article, and it's me like giggling and laughing. I'm like, I can't believe this. But it's like, this is unreal.
That's cool.
That exposure was absolutely amazing. My private site, tracking all the analytics to that, you know, you go from maybe a couple thousand people that have looked at it to now it's like, oh, crap, there's 200,000 people that have looked at it in the last week.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not the exposure. I don't, you know, it's some weird kind of fame. I like being able to just do this cool stuff and get to do it for really nice people.
Yeah. That definitely brought people together.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty
and
cool.
And we know the feeling with the whole fifth line stuff. I mean, when that blew up, it was just like, it was like we went from like just a fun Twitter account to like what we had 3,000 at the time to all of a sudden we blew up to like 9,000 overnight. Like we're like, oh crap.
Yeah, the same with like the analytics and stuff. You know, we went from on a game day we would have maybe 10,000 people that viewed our stuff. And now each game day we're over a couple hundred thousand each game.
Would now be a good time to mention like we do that we still don't know how many listeners we actually have. Speaking of analytics.
Yeah.
If you guys want to like tweet at us or something and tell us that you listen to the show, that'd be awesome. That way we can get a feel for it.
We get quite a few people tweeting.
But so now that you're done with the jackets, first off, when it comes to the posters, is that something you might occasionally do still from time to time, or have you been like the Jedi Master? Have you named an apprentice that's going to come in and do their own spin on the game day posters?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the next steps are for the jacket posters next season. Jason, the senior designer there, I know he's got a meeting with Jeff next week. They're going to talk about what's the best way we can move into next season with this. I looking back on it, I hope somebody doesn't have to do 41 of them because that was a lot. And I don't think
on
everybody
average,
realized
like
it.
How long did each one take you to do? There's so much detail that went into those.
Oh, yeah.
I figure it takes a while. Is this something like you plan out a couple weeks in advance, or you do it like the week of, or?
I'd say that my creative process with these posters, about 90% of the time spent before I start on it is me freaking out, not knowing what I'm going to do. And then I got to cram it all in the last 10%. It's, I probably do them in 6 to 10 hours now. At the very beginning of the season, they were a little bit more simple, and then I realized people really started to like these stories that are hidden in these posters, and I felt like I needed to add more detail. Yeah. And I kind of made it a little bit more complicated for myself, but same time, I absolutely love doing these. It was stretching that creative part of my brain that, and still continuing to train that, and thankfully it's leading to bigger things now.
Yeah, I mean, it really has opened up doors for you. I mean, like, that I think all that pain now has opened up. It's, like, come back to you full circle, and it's like, hey, guess what? So can you at least tell us what you're about to do now?
On Thursday, I am moving to New York City. I'm going to be an art director for the New Jersey Devils.
Oh.
They plucked you out of here.
You know, I
but
been
your girlfriend lives.
My girlfriend lives there. So. I've been trying to get out there for a year now. Yeah. And, you know, long distance was tough, but totally worth it. To be able to stick through that with somebody like her, that means more to me than, man, any of these posters could.
That's a true bae.
That's true.
True bae before anybody else.
Yeah. God, earlier off the air, we're talking about. Or no, or whatever. We were talking about sad dogs or whatever and stuff. Old Yeller. That was on the air, wasn't it?
That was on the air, yeah.
Wow. Anyways, we're talking about sad dogs, getting the emotions going there.
Somebody
and
get this man a drink.
You could tell the end of the season is here. Everybody's just full of emotion. But, and no, it's cool. At least you're sticking with hockey. I mean, it could have been worse. You could have said that you were working with the Rangers or something like that. I mean, that would have been a little upsetting. But,
you know,
no, Devils aren't too bad.
And that just didn't pan out. I was bummed by that.
Yeah.
That was before.
Yeah,
any of the
but do you really want to work in an arena where one of the primetime seats belongs to a car?
Hey, the SUV and I are starting to become.
I
friends.
Think you should be able to sit.
If
in
I
that
could
car.
Sit in the SUV,
yeah.
I'd be fine.
Yeah,
right?
If you could sit in the car and then honk the horn every time they score.
I'm telling you,
that'd be cool.
I'm telling you this much though. Somehow, some way, next season for a game against the Islanders, you have to submit a poster into the Jackets, whether it's a road game. Poster for us against the Islanders and somehow get that car into the poster.
That was pretty clever with the whole that poster, particularly with the car. I was like perfect.
Do you guys know that whole story behind that?
No. Go ahead and elaborate, sir.
Like these are like stories that, you know, I'll put time into researching, and because I think they're goofy things and I think they're funny, and how can we put this into a visual element? You know, Niles was the original mascot for the Islanders. And he was a hipster-looking dude, had a gold light on his head, on his beanie, and the way he disappeared was Carlton the polar bear from Toronto kidnapped him and put him in the mascot witness protection program, trying to keep him safe from what I don't know.
Those mascots, man, they're devious.
I didn't realize a polar bear was that.
Sadistic? That,
exactly.
Yeah, see?
It's like that was like the original story. And I think on the original Islanders poster is when I had the guys on the ship coming in to the city on the Scioto. The second one was when I did the subway platform, and there's little missing posters on one of the brick pillars that I that I illustrated, and it's, you know, missing Niles. I'm like, the way we post them, you lose some of the detail. But, like, I wrote really tiny on their kidnap. Last scene with Carlton the polar bear.
That's so great. Now I have to go back to that poster. Look at that.
Yeah.
And look at that. Because the one thing I noticed on that poster was the fifth line train. Like, I noticed that. But, they're like, I mean, that's what the beauty of these posters were, is that people had to really pay attention to the small details that you put in there. And that's what – I think that's what made these great and such a bright spot for the season, because obviously the first 2 to 3 months were fun. It's gonna be weird next year, because we've gotten used to looking forward to your posters. So if somebody picks up the mantle and takes off with it, that's great. But we're gonna miss
won't be the same.
It's
gonna say you guys have one really awesome poster to look forward to next year, and that is going to be the first game that the Devils play the Jackets.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
This is going to – I do look forward to that now.
Yeah, and it's going to probably be in the favor of the Devils, I would assume, since that's who you're working for now.
Careful, though. You got to be careful.
Oh, I will be careful.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe, I mean
– We could take a good ribbing, but break both of them.
If you could sneak us three in there, like, somewhere, that'd be great. Just hide us, like – and a crowd of people.
Yeah.
We can be the guys that are battling the Devils fans and the whatever poster idea you've got going on. But I decided that my Blue Jackets Twitter account, I know some of you guys saw it, was going to be going bye-bye after this season.
I saw that.
4 years, it's coming down. But maybe I could bring it back to life in a different aspect since he's leaving. I'll take over the poster duty. It's going to be a lot of DKM-style stick figures, but... game day posters nonetheless.
I think I'm the only one of us that can actually draw.
Yeah, Matt actually is a good drawer. Or artist.
Artiste. Yeah, but, I'm creative. What was it? When we first came up with the logo for the artillery, I think we were in an office. We were in my old office at an athletic director's athletic office at a high school, and I had all my equipment with me, and me and Jordan were probably in there, 6-7 hours?
It was a while, yeah.
It took us 6 or 7 hours to get that logo that you guys see on the artillery because me and Jordan are yin and yang. Like, we have different ideas, and we finally got something that worked together. Yeah. And
from the start, I was like, give me an Ohio outline with a cannon in it.
And then I was
you wanted a hockey flag sticking out of it.
I wanted a hockey flag sticking out of it because, at that point, Ed, it was the only thing we had that was our staple.
Yeah.
Because I carried around the Ohio flag for so long. I still do. I brought it out B-dubs Friday night.
It's it's the coolest state flag.
Yeah, it really is. It's the most unique of any.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's part of our logo. It's part of, like, the Blue Jackets logo. So if you think about that, like, why not put it on a hockey stick and just, you know, fly that thing around?
I think the only thing that ever bummed me out about the logo was because the flag is backwards on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. Like, well, I think I knew what they were trying to do. They're trying to do, like, the sweeping C, but you can't really tell because how skinny the top of it is to the thickness of the bottom. So, see, we see,
still,
like, artists.
Still pretty dope, though. I like it. But,
we're going to
rock it.
As much as we'd like to continue this, this is going to be a longer podcast than usual. We're just going to tie it into the fact that it's the end of the season and we're sad and we don't want to go and stop talking hockey now. But
we're just rambling like old men. Yeah, like, I wish we could have done this back in the day. But why didn't we do this?
Before we let you go, where can people find you? Where can people reach you, see your work?
I am on Twitter. It's just my name, @AnthonyZeech.
Z-Y.
Z-Y.
Z-Y-C-H.
Or look him up in the phone book. He's at the very bottom.
Yep. Although, look, I heard somebody came in and their last name is ZYP something, and, I'm going to find that guy.
Jeez.
It's about to go down.
He took my reign.
He's also going to get kidnapped by Carlton the polar bear.
Yeah.
And going to
Carlton
witness protective.
Throw him in the trunk of the SUV. But I'm on Twitter. I've got my personal site. It's www.anthonyzeech.com. I feel like I need to start making a Facebook again. I got off that 4 years ago, and now I realize, if I want to start doing posters on the side, I'll probably be on Facebook this summer at some point for a business.
Yeah, you can just send your posters to us. We'll go and start a fan page on Facebook for you, and we'll just post all your posters up there that way.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, we thank you for coming on. Best of luck in New Jersey.
Thank you.
And like I said, you've done an awesome job, and we really appreciate it.
We're about to order some pancakes.
That's the only reason I came down.
I know. I had to lure him with pancakes.
You bribed him with pancakes.
Yeah, you did not come here down here for the pancakes. It's for the podcast, all right? At least say that on the air. You can say whatever you want off the air.
All right, we will be right back here on the Fifth Line Podcast.
And we're back. I just wanted to steal Jordan's job for once.
You usually point and say go.
Normally I point at him, but because of this buzzing and how obnoxious it can get, I'm going to minimize my talking during
this
closeout section.
Producer.
So I'm just going to get my little 5 seconds of fame in and steal his line
for
once.
You can
So now you can take it away, Jordan. Go ahead.
Welcome back into the Fifth Line Podcast. We decided to bring Anthony back. We don't want him to leave, so he still has a headset
on. We're kidnapping him. He's not allowed to go to New Jersey.
He's not. We're going to put him in my trunk. And
he's going on the Fifth Line witness protection program. Don't worry, we're going to go out to New York. We're going to find your girlfriend. We'll put her in a trunk and drive her safely to Columbus.
Safely.
And then you guys can stay in whatever dark room that we decide to store you in.
We need to stop while we're ahead because this will hold up in court.
Well, hey, as long as I get to be with her, I'll be happy.
All right,
you get to be with her as long as we can stick you in a room and all you can do is eat, sleep. We'll give you a bathroom and do posters.
Okay.
That's it.
That works. That's the life.
Wait, what about benefits?
Are you
going to cover my diabetes supplies?
Well, we don't want you to die, so
oh,
yeah.
Okay, okay, thanks. Yeah. I'm down.
So. But we will force you to be, like, in slave labor. We're going to make you do posters forever and ever, amen.
But yeah, this is our last podcast of the season, so it's kind of bittersweet. Not the season we wanted, but, you know, still lots of memories made this season. And I guess we'll end it by what, TJ, Matt, what was your favorite part about this season?
My favorite part about this season was when a guy from our team put the puck in the net of the other team.
That's a good job.
Yeah.
How many times did we do that?
I don't know because
not enough.
I didn't.
Not enough.
Actually, we did score quite a lot this year. It just didn't seem like it was enough against the teams that we needed them to be. We would score a lot of goals in one game that we would win 5, 6, 7 goals in a game, but then we'd score like one or none like the next couple of games. So. It was rough. I don't know. Actually, my real, like, highlight of the season, I think, was just seeing
That was yours. That's it.
Seeing the development of some of the young guys that we brought up, like Borgstrand, even just those last 12, 13 games or whatever. It's getting us excited again for the future. Hopefully this time the excitement will stick next season and that these guys will continue to play that way. But I think it's just showing the bright spots with these up-and-coming guys and, you know, guys like Boone and Saad setting career seasons for themselves.
Oh, thank God that buzzing is over.
What? Oh, did you say something, TJ? I can't hear you.
Matt Pfeffer, what was your favorite?
I'd have to say the flashes of resilience that we showed this year. I remember during a stretch right after Christmas, I was just talking to Anthony about this. The Washington game, the Dallas game. We showed that we can play with the big boys.
Yeah.
We just have to put it all together. We have to make this a consistent thing. That Philly game just recently, my God, we were down 2-0. Usually it's a fork in us, we're done. Mm-hmm. So Jordan leaves, unfortunately.
I leave, what?
Remember the Philly game?
Oh, yeah.
Jordan leaves.
That wasn't my fault. My dad was there.
Yeah, I know.
And he just was out of the hospital. He's like, I need to leave.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Yeah, we left with like 5 minutes to go. I get a text from Matt saying, holy beep, we tied it.
Yeah. And we just showed that resiliency.
My dad felt awful, by the way. He's like, oh, I feel so bad I made you leave. I'm like, it's okay.
Whatever. Yeah, it's like, whatever. So, yeah. And then we won. But, like, we stole those points from Philadelphia, who needed those points so desperately to get in the playoffs, which they are in, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that resiliency of this young group, they found a way to win. And I think now we have to find that consistently next year. And so I really like those games where – the young talent show that they're gonna be able to hang one day.
Yeah,
so
it's definitely there.
And not just that. How about the biggest bright spot that we have a solid backup or starter in Corpusalo?
That by far, I think, surprised a lot of people coming into the season. You know, he was the backup to the backup to the backup in Cleveland. I think.
Yeah.
So I mean, for him to come out there and perform the way he did, we've definitely found a jewel there.
I mean, and not just that, like, just seeing him, like in the preseason. And remember, he shut out Pittsburgh in the preseason. Now, we were like, okay, well, it's, you know, preseason, it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But then he showed it when Bob went down, McElhinney went down. And it was just like, wow, this guy's, like, legit.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and do an honorable mention here because I don't know how Matt forgot this, being a fan and this not being the biggest highlight of his season. But I would have to say that one of Matt's biggest highlights this year or things he was most happy about was the day that Scott Hartnell lied and told him he would be his best friend.
Yeah.
He didn't lie.
Have you talked to him since?
Yes, I did, at the Cannonball.
You hung out with him?
Cannonball, I hung out.
So, in other words, at events where fans were invited to come out.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, when you just say you're somebody's best friend, you just don't renege on that, okay?
All right, fair enough. I would say my favorite part of the season, there are a couple fan bases that I don't really care for, Pittsburgh being one of them, Chicago being the other. So getting to see the win last night, fresh in my mind, I'm going to go with that was probably one of the bright spots, seeing all those Blackhawk fans who were so hyped at the beginning because they were up 3-0, they thought they were going to roll right over us, to see them just go to utter silence and being pissed off and leaving the arena. And having to drive back to Chicago upset was amazing. Or drive back to their neighborhood in Columbus, Ohio.
No, that's great. I love when these big, large traveling fan bases come out here and they run their mouths and talk trash about our team because we're not having a great season. And then they get to go home with their foot in their mouth because of all that. And now before we get to you, Anthony, about what your highlight was, we're not going to let you get away with saying posters as your highlight. Okay. we try to keep people from getting the cop-out answers.
Favorite part of the season? Getting to know
us.
The fifth line.
I know, right?
Getting to know the fifth line. Every fan out there, hockey fans in general, getting to know all of them and really see how they share their passion through something I got to do. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best part. I got to see a lot of people really happy and really excited about something, and that means more than having done a poster.
That's good.
That hit me right here.
Every time you talk, like, I get choked up.
We're pretty much just
have a way with words.
We don't want you to leave.
we're gonna have to just like end on that note. Like we can't break this feeling that we're having on here. We might as well let him do our send off for the show. We might as well just say our goodbyes because we're gonna be back at some point with another podcast. But this guy, he's going on to bigger and better things in life. So
yeah, I mean, hey, if you want to do the send off, it's all you.
Guys, fifth line, anybody else out there listening, haters, we love you guys too. Thanks for tuning in today. Personally, from my heart out to every single person in Columbus and Ohio, overseas, anywhere that has helped me take this next step forward in life, thank you to every single one of you. I mean, it has truly been a time in my life that I will never forget, and I am so appreciative that words will never be enough.
Now we eat bourbon pancakes.
I've got six of them. I can't wait.
Oh, my gosh. We have bourbon pancakes here at Local Cantina. Oh, yeah. Thank you to Local Cantina for letting us do our podcast.
It's a great
here.
Little spot. If you've never checked it out, make sure you do that.
It's a great.
And it's local.
It is local.
It's local. It's a great hangover place afterwards. I'm not going to lie about that.
But well, for Anthony, our guest, for Matt, myself.
Myself
and the buzzing. Because I know you guys love and will miss the buzzing. And to Jordan, we're going to turn it over to him so he doesn't get mad and let him do his official close out.
I know
the way it always goes is I say something and then you do the actual close and then Matt says his keep the fifth line hot.
No.
Now it's hotter because it's a new
hotter.
Suit. Yeah.
It's hotter.
But, so wait, what happens next season? Hotterer?
Hotterest.
The hotter.
Do we just keep adding ers to the end of it until it's just a river? Until it starts sounding like a Rihanna song.
Keep the fifth line hottest. The hottest. Keep the hottest fifth line.
All right. Well, guys, until next season, it's been real. It's been fun.
Well,
and,
I don't.
Hopefully, we can. Yeah. Next season will be better for us.
You'll hear from us in the summer.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be around. But
yeah,
you know.
We're not saying goodbye. We're just saying see you later.
Well, I'm saying goodbye.
Hello.
I know.
Darkness, my old friend.
Farewell, Columbus.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time here on the Fifth Line Podcast.
Keep the fifth line hotter.
Yes.